I was shopping at a nearby supermarket yesterday. Why go to a faraway supermarket? And I went to the fish counter. The counter of fish. Guy stands there, he counts fish. One, two, three, that's a stupid joke. So I told him I wanted some salmon. And he said, wow. Actually, he didn't say wow. He said, which salmon do you want? I said, what do you got? And he said, we got the coho, and we've got the farm-raised salmon. And I said, farm-raised? What are you talking about? And I started to realize, which I knew kind of before, it's just when he said farm-raised, it just struck a bell for me. It struck a chord, struck a bell, struck a foot, struck a something for me. And it was, there are actually farms with fish in them. And I don't remember this when I was growing up. You went to a farm and there was a pig and a horse and a cow and a guy with a straw hat on, sucking on a toothpick. And that was the farm. And he would get up with the chickens. You know, we get up with the chickens in the morning, all the cackling and the roosters. I mean, I don't think anybody's been awakened on a farm by fish. What's, I can't sleep. It's those damn fish. Now there's fish farms, ladies and gentlemen, and you got to get up early and milk the fish. And by the way, that's a euphemism.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to milk the fish.
Whatever.
Yeah, all right. Good morning. Hi. Good morning, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious, I'm not kidding. It's interesting. Oh my God, a little hangnail here. Ouch, a little hangnail. Did you ever get a hangnail? It's like when part of your nail is like digging into your skin. And it's not a hangnail, it's like a hurt nail. Anyway, you know there's soy milk, there's cow milk, there's goat milk. There's all kinds of milk. You get milk from everything. But you can't get milk from a fish. And I don't know why not. No one said, I've lost 20 pounds. It's my fish milk diet. Ugh, ugh. And I guess it's because fish milk wouldn't smell too good. Although, again, I think every once in a while I encounter fish milk. I'm not going to go there, but I'm just saying. I don't know why there's no fish milk. It sounds very, we take fish oil. In the mornings, in the evenings, all day, you take fish oil. You know, it's good for you. It's got omega-3s and 4s and 7s. Not so much omega-5, 6. And it's just really good for you. You need the omegas in your body. I don't know why. Someone told me that. I've been taking fish oil since, I guess, about 10, 15 years now, you know. And I don't smell like a fish, and I have no fish milk. I wonder if you're pregnant. That's fine, but there's no fish milk. I think that'd be pretty tasty. I think that would, if you can get the fishy smell out of the milk. All right, let's get out of here. That's enough. I get stuck on this fish milk thing, man. For the next 2 weeks I'll be talking about fish milk. these topics just stay in my mind. They don't leave me, you know. Bump into my friends. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Let's talk about fish milk, because it's on my mind, and I want to talk about it. What are you talking about? Fish milk, man. Get with the program. It's what's happening. I'm going to say something rather controversial, and don't think I'm less of a person because I say this to you, although I probably am. I have a comment to make that is descending from the popular comments. As you know, Bruce Jenner turned into Caitlyn Jenner. It was a magic trick that stuck. Wasn't comfortable in his own body. Became a woman. She is named Caitlyn. She started her own reality show yesterday. And it's on the E Network. And it's I Am Kate, I think it's called, or Kiss Me Kate, or I Am Caitlyn. This is my Caitlyn story. This is Kate. I don't know the name of it exactly. It's got Kate in it somewhere. And the first episode, Caitlyn Jenner, I don't think he changed his last name. I'm sorry, she changed her. I'm so confused. As I go through this little explanation, please understand, I totally support transgender generations. If a man wants to become a woman, no skin off my teeth, wonderful. There's a lot of stuff that's not in the Bible that we accept. That's fine. The Bible is not my rule book, so it's okay. If there are girls that want to become guys, go for it, man. I don't really care. I don't care at all. As I said on a previous show, if you spend your weekends fucking sheep, I that doesn't bother me either. Whatever. The only thing is, I don't like anything in my face, except for the obvious, and I don't like anything in my face. I don't. I choose what I am bombarded with. I don't like things thrown in my face. Now, I don't have to watch certain television shows. I don't have to read certain newspaper articles, but when certain subject matters are so prominent that everywhere you turn, there it is, oops, there it is, I feel a little smothered. And that's where I'm with this Caitlyn Jenner thing. The first show of Kiss Me Kate, whatever the name of that damn show is, it shows her at a Vanity Fair photo shoot. And she has to deal with her family members as she becomes a she. He becomes she. She is a she. And it's a reality show. It's another one of those fucking reality shows. I just think it should stop. Enough. I live reality. I don't need to deal with somebody else's reality to deal with everybody else's problems. I guess the theory is, if I deal with other people's problems, my problems don't seem so bad. Or I don't have problems, but now they are a problem. So I tuned in just to see what it was like, and I got to tell you, it was just too much in my face. And everybody says this Kiss Me Caitlyn show is a wonderful show because it supports the transgender world. It makes transgender people feel more comfortable and more melded into society. And my point is, as I've said on the show before, when you change sexes, it doesn't mean you have to do magazine cover spreads. It doesn't mean you have to put on sexy clothes, show your legs, be in front of cameras, have reality shows. I think that Caitlyn Jenner's better road would have been to be a respectable woman rather than a photographic decoration, a piece of ass. And I kind of, you know, American society has gotten very, very weird these days. Very, very weird. Donald Trump is the leading Republican candidate. Things have gotten really weird. And he didn't put himself there. People put him there. He's outlandish, ridiculous. It's entertainment. It's wonderful. But at the same time, what the hell's going on, man? What the hell's going on with all of you? Everybody I talk to think that Donald Trump is a gigantic butthead. But for some reason in the polls, in the Republican polls, he's on top by a mile. And could Republicans have that great a sense of humor that they put Trump on top just to dick with him for a while? I mean, are Republicans that cool? I mean, I didn't think so, and I still don't think so, but I think they're just like playing with the guy. So I don't know what's going on. And I turn on television and my reality show is this woman doing magazine spreads who I think still has a penis. And in other words, I'm very supportive of transgender. I'm supportive of anybody being anybody they want. When you take it out in public, good, wonderful. Make your points about transgender things. We have doctors on this show talk about various diseases. Make your points about the diseases so we all can understand them. That's all fine. So we all can accept things. I get that. It's wonderful. But don't throw it in my face with sitting in cars and wearing sexy dresses and tons of makeup and acting like some type of a sex object. That is not what being a woman is. Is it, ladies? I don't know. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe it is. But apparently to Caitlyn Jenner, being a woman is being a sex object. And maybe she's just feeling her oats right now. But if she put on some type of a respectable outfit for a lady and got into business, we showed Caitlyn Jenner sitting behind a desk making business decisions, going about her reality life in a very professional manner, in a very respectable manner, I would say this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're showing the power of women and the power of men becoming women and being accepted, and that's fine. But having steam come off a car and showing your crotch and I don't know. And then people say to me, well, Ron, she's a very sexy woman. I go, oh, no, you're fucking me up here. What are you saying to me? What are you saying this for? Anyway, that's my take on it. You can tell me that I'm a jerk for having that opinion, but I do. I have the utmost respect for Bruce, Caitlin, for making the transition, for making it public, for making other people with that concern feel very comfortable in society. That's great. Going about it this way is just it's too superficial American. It's just weird. Just weird. All right. You like fish milk? All right, never mind. By the way, I've got a very simple question for you. It's not going to take a long time. Here's my question.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I think the story is that during some NASA space mission, somebody invented Velcro, and it became the way to fasten things. The strength of the Velcro attachment, you could lift an elephant with a toothpick. Sounds like something a Southerner would say sitting on the porch. Well, I'll tell you something, Zeke. I picked up that rock like it was an elephant on a toothpick. So anyway, I respect Velcro. I think it's a wonderful thing. Here's the problem. Apparently, if you have Velcro on your shoes, you're some kind of dork. I used to wear shoes with laces. I used to wear sneakers with laces. I had to bend over, like some type of a contortionist in the circus, in order to tie my shoes. I did think in the back of my mind, there's got to be a better way to secure this fashion device onto my foot. There's got to be a better way than tying it and making knots and stuff like I was some kind of a weird sailor on leave. I don't like to bend over. My back isn't in the greatest shape. It's not horrible, but I choose not to bend over. As I said on yesterday's show, I don't even pick up pennies off the ground anymore, not because I disrespect the value of money, nor Lincoln's picture on them, but it's more that I have to bend over to get it, and that's a physical activity that is not worth 1 cent to me. So I don't do it. I let other people do it if they so desire. Besides, pennies blend into the ground really, really well. So I don't need to pick them up. I don't consider that littering. I consider that garnishing. So anyway, I don't want to bend over for anything anymore. I just don't. It's in my rule book. I don't bend over for things. I will not bend over backwards for you. I will not bend forwards. I will not bend backwards. I will not bend to the side unless I choose to do so for exercise purposes. So there's this Velcro stuff that, and I have Velcro sneakers, and I put them on my feet, and they go, they make that wonderful Velcro sound, which is lovely sound. It's sexy. And it's a ripping sound is what it is. So it's like your crotch in corduroy pants. It's just lovely. So I fasten the Velcro on the sneakers, and I got to tell you something, I'm good for the whole day. The position of my shoe never changes. When you tie your shoes and make your little stupid knot, and it is a stupid knot, don't kid yourself, it's a stupid knot. It's two little loops, which is a little odd. It's just odd. It's odd to tie something onto your feet. I mean, we're not talking about Jesus walking the desert with sandals here. We're talking about modern-day society. When you tie your shoe, you know that at some point during the day, you're going to have to bend over again because one of your shoes is untied. What looks dorkier? A person walking around with their shoes untied or Velcro sneakers? I think the shoes untied kind of is dorkier. So you stop, you have to put everything down, you have to find a chair, and you have to retie your shoe. This is unacceptable for this point in time. So I would do Velcro. Everything below the waist should be Velcro. I would love to have Velcro pants. I think Velcro pants would be perfect. Get rid of the belts. Get rid of the belts. Let's start attaching the top of the pants, the top of the trousers, and I'm sorry I said the word trousers. I haven't said that very often in my life. With Velcro, a Velcro enclosure around the waist. That way, if you eat too much dinner, which can happen, and you get a little bloaty, then you loosen the Velcro and it's done, you know. Ron, you can loosen the belt buckle. Too much work. Got to find the little hole. Holes get worn. Velcro, it doesn't wear. You can adjust it perfectly to what you need. No more belts. You make sure that sucker's nice and tight, but not too tight. Velcro is a wonderful, wonderful invention. We don't use it enough. We really don't. So I will not wear lace shoes anymore. I have gone beyond that. Now, if Caitlyn Jenner wants to really make a point, she would wear Velcro shoes all the time. Of course, now when you're a woman, there is no Velcro high heels. Wouldn't it be wonderful, though, if you permanently attached Velcro to the bottom of your foot surgically, and then all your shoes on the inside sole part, there'd be the accompanying Velcro male-female situation. So you could just snap all kinds of shoes, oh snap, right onto your feet. There's my high heels. There's my sneakers. There's my flats. There's my sandals. You just smack them on Velcro-wise. I think we're missing the boat. I think the boat just left. you just missed the boat.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
If you love to travel, you can join us on November 5th. We're renting a charter bus, and we're going to be going up to Vermont to visit a fish farm. I'll tell you a funny story about fish. And this is a true story. Every story that I tell is uproariously true. All stories that I tell you were told to me by Brian Williams, so I know that they are.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
I went to, and I hate to admit this to everybody, I went to Whole Foods last week. Not just some of the foods or part of the foods. I went to Whole Foods, all of the foods. Whole Foods, a very interesting concept. And the concept is, let's get as many customers as we can by overcharging them huge amounts for our products that most people can't afford. That way we're going to keep all the minorities out of the store. Ron, seriously? Yes, did you ever go to Whole Foods? Come on, man. Come on. If you don't drive a Maserati or a Lexus or something like that, you can't shop at Whole Foods. You have to have a ton of money to shop at Whole Foods. Did you ever go into their produce section? A banana is like $10. It's not even a good banana. So I'm walking through the Whole Foods place, and they are, you know, they just overdo everything. It's just, everything's overdone to the point where the customers feel totally consumed by this store. They just... You walk in there and it's like, whoa, man, get off my back. I just want to buy a banana. No, you gotta try this quinoa. Quinoa, what the hell are you talking about? It tastes like cardboard. Yeah, it's quinoa. $72 a pound. It's fantastic. It's quinoa. Quinoa. This is a place that doesn't sell rice. It just sells risotto, which I still have no idea what the fuck that is. I know Gordon Ramsay loves it. Other than that, I have no idea what it is. It's rice with shit in it. Anyway, so I'm going to Whole Foods, and sometimes they put on little demonstrations. In their fish department, oh, fish again, Ron? Seriously? Can you get off of this thing? No, I can't, okay? I run with a theme. I go with it for up to 7 weeks. There's this guy wearing a white long coat, like a lab technician, but I guess it's like a butcher schmuck or something. And there's a little blood on it, so you know it's authentic. If you ever want to look real and authentic, put a little blood on anything. If you're wearing a robe, put a little blood on it. You'll look like you know what you're doing. Anyway, this guy is hacking up a swordfish. This swordfish, it was a whole swordfish in Whole Foods. The swordfish had to be at least 5 feet long, almost as tall as I am, including the sword. And it looked wonderful, but it was the whole fish. And the guy was doing a demonstration on how their fish little section there in Whole Foods, how they get really fresh, entire fish, and they cut up the fish for your delight right in the store. So they're doing a demonstration on how to carve and hack up a swordfish. And people are standing there like this is some kind of demonstration for a vegetable chopper. You know, like, hey, you get 2 for $27. Come here, babe. Come on. And if you buy today, I'll give you 16. So this guy's standing there, and he's not talking. He's just hacking up a fish in public. And he's got this tremendously large knife that looks so sharp, Freddy Krueger would probably find it to be very, very alluring. And he cuts behind the gills and cuts half of the head off. I'm sorry. Here's my dilemma. Here's my dilemma. I am a hippie that never grew up. I believe that everything should live, even flies. Mosquitoes, not so much. Flies should live. Birds should live. Fish should live. Trees should remain standing and live. Anything that grows, you know? Vegetables don't have brains, so we eat them and we don't have a problem. I've never seen tofu fancifully running through the fields. But I do see fish swim, and I do see them make certain decisions. I certainly see animals make decisions and being animalistic. I should not be eating meat. I shouldn't be eating meat. I shouldn't be eating things that were once alive and killed and maimed for my cuisine pleasure, my culinary pleasure, I should say. It shouldn't be. I shouldn't be doing it. But I do. But I do it because it's tasty, and I am but a weak human being. So when the guy's cutting into the fish, I'm saying to myself, this bothers me. It bothers me that this once living thing is being hacked up for my enjoyment. I mean, but this is the way animals are. I mean, you know, it's the way animals are. And we are animals. But it was disgusting, man. It was like going to a horror film, hacking away at the flesh and separating the flesh from the skin. And some of the people looking on were getting sick. They were like covering their mouths and going. And then I realized it's not the fact that the guy was cutting into a fish. Because I'll tell you something. If it were a small little brook trout, and it was no more than maybe like a hand long or maybe like a foot long trout, which, by the way, they have at Subway. They have the 6-inch and the foot-long trout. What do you want on your trout? You want a cucumber? You want the sweet onion sauce? All right, I digress. I undress. So if it was a small fish, no one would say a word. They go, this guy cutting up a small fish. I mean, I eat small fish all the time. But the fact that this thing was 5 feet long made it kind of human. Made it like really large and really significant. And I have yet to eat fish since I went into that place. And it's kind of, there are a few things that I am not proud of in my life. Actually, there's a long list. One of the big ones is the fact that I eat animals that have been killed so that I can burp later on. It, you know, not one of my shining moments.
Ron, but then again, I'm in the third grade.
okay, the volume for that was not up all the way. We missed the first few words. So let's do that again.
That was a really funny story,
That's
Ron.
That's better.
But then again, I'm in the third grade.
We need some production value here in some sense. So that's what we do. Are you hungry, though? You want to chop up a cow and eat it?
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
It's almost time to shop for the kids. Bring them down to the malls.
Well, I loved a million women in a Belladonna case. And I had a million dinners brought to me on silver tray. Give me everything I need to feed my body and my soul. Well, I grow a little bigger, maybe that can be my goal. I was told a million times of all the people in my way. How I had to keep on trying and get better every day. But if I crossed a million rivers.
So apparently we all go online now to buy everything. We don't try it on. We don't hold it in our hands. We just buy it online so that we don't have to get up off of our chairs and make our asses stand in midair. But you know what? We're missing out on the pure enjoyment of the social interaction with those annoying people walking through the malls. But there's nothing like it. Bring the kids to the malls. There's stuff to do. And we're going to speak to Jesse Tron today about shopping malls and bringing your kids to them and getting back into the shopping experience. Stop doing everything online and let's get it on. Yes, I do. Okay, let's see what my good friend Jesse is doing. My good friend, I've never met him before in my life, but we're going to talk to him now. Jess, say...
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am fantastic. Jesse Tron is the Director of Communications and Media Relations for the International Council of Shopping Centers. I didn't know there was one, so this is good. And up here in the Boston, New England area, we have tons of malls, as they do across the country. And I know that soon they're going to be packed again because of the back-to-school thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Over a third of consumers said that they're actually already started their back-to-school shopping, which is incredible considering we just started summer vacation. But it's already on people's minds, and we've seen an elongated season here over the past couple of years with back-to-school. But the vast majority of purchases still going to take place in August. That's still the number one month for back-to-school.
Yeah. How is it changed from the old school where you get in the car, usually a station wagon? I don't think they make station wagons anymore. You get in a van, I'm sorry, and you go to the mall and you just get it done. Have things changed?
Yeah, things certainly have changed because of technology. And really what we're seeing now is a phenomenon called web rooming, which basically means that everyone is going online and doing all of their research ahead of time before they ever step foot in a physical store. So they're narrowing down a lot of their purchasing decisions before they ever get to the physical store. They then do, though, the vast majority of shoppers go into the store to make that final purchase, but they are far more informed than they ever have been in the past before they ever actually step foot into the shopping center or store.
I guess it's a fine line for shopping malls because you don't want to get too technological to the point where they don't have to come into the store at all anymore. You want them to show up. You want them to browse. You want them to have the experience, but you do have to introduce technology. So, yeah, it's a fine line to walk.
Yeah, you want to make sure that the technology is enhancing the experience.
Yeah,
not overtaking it,
and not replacing
but that is what they're doing. Yeah, exactly. They're making sure that all of the technological aspects enhance the experience, but what you can't lose sight of is that there is absolutely an inherently social aspect to shopping.
Yes.
And that is one thing that, shopping centers, stores, and malls deliver on, and you don't want to lose sight of that. But you also, at the same time, you want to evolve and you want to keep up with trends and you want to enhance that experience, and there's some great technologies that are helping with that.
That's great. I mean, I'm not saying this just because you're a guest on the show here, but I love shopping malls because, A, I actually get exercise. I mean, you do a lot of walking, and that's, like, really good for you, which is what most people don't do. And it stimulates the mind to look at things, to shop, to figure things out, and it becomes a fanciful vision for the mind, and it's a multi-sense experience. I think malls are great. I hope they get stronger and stronger. You know what I would love, and I don't know if the technology is there, is finding out what the stores have in stock, so when I go to the store, I know if I've, you know, if they don't have the item, then I may not have gone. Is that available?
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, and that's what you're seeing now with e-commerce platforms.
There you go.
Is that they are tying, most retailers are tying their e-commerce platform to their physical store present.
Good.
At the onset of e-commerce, that wasn't the case. They were treated separately.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're integrated, which is part of the overall omni-channel experience, because what most retailers have found out is that this is how people shop. They go on and they check things like, you point out, inventory.
Yeah.
They also want to look at reviews. They actually want to find out, from their friends and family. They want to get second opinions on things. So that's what they're using this technology for, and that's what shopping centers are really doing, is helping facilitate that. Because, for instance, in this upcoming back-to-school season, 80% of people said they're going to use their mobile device while they're in the store.
Yep.
So you want to facilitate that, because people are doing all these things, checking inventories and finding out, does the store actually have it? Yes, they do. I'm going in and trying it on, because remember, that's a very important part. People want to try it on, they want to interact with it, and then they make their final purchase.
Absolutely. That's the fun of it. Walking to the door and finding a box in front of your door is not very romantic and not much fun. You know, it's just fun to hold the thing in your hand and examine it. That's what shopping's all about. Do the changes vary from city to city?
Do changes vary from city to city in terms of shopping?
Yeah.
Certainly, of course. There's always regional differences. Most of our data and things that we look at is more on a national basis.
Mm-hmm.
They change more drastically when you talk about crossing borders.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things really change. But of course, there are some slight differences city to city. But when you're talking about shopping in the U.S., for the most part, most U.S. consumers are pretty much, fall into various similar categories.
So what will we find this year when we go out to the malls? What will we find that is indeed different, and what are some tips you can give us about the trends?
Yeah, absolutely. Experience. That is going to be what you're really going to see that has changed drastically over the past couple of years, is just how much shopping centers and malls are enhancing that consumer experience. They're adding more dining options, more entertainment options, and we're finding out that that is what people ultimately want. That's what the consumer wants. They want to do their shopping, but they also want to go and have these other experiences. Yeah. You know, over 80% said that they're going to visit a shopping center. Yeah, 75% said that when they do, they're going to do something else besides shop as well. So the consumer's telling us what they want, and the shopping centers are evolving to meet that need. So you're going to see more dining and things and dining concepts that are outside of the traditional food court, and you're going to see more of those entertainment experiences, concerts, different activations, things of that nature.
Cool. I personally, one of the greatest features of a shopping mall to me, which you don't get anywhere else, is the food court experience, where you can walk around. You've got like 8 or 10 different types of gourmet things going on, and people actually giving you free samples. But I mean, it's like, you know, you can stand there and just have all kinds of cuisines like all surrounding you. I think that's the most fun of all. It reminds me of the old street vendors in the old days, which they don't have too much anymore. So this is like, I love that part of it.
And a lot of them are really enhancing that experience by turning them more into like marketplaces, as opposed to traditional food courts. So really giving a little bit different look and feel, adding a lot more healthful food options, more fresh food options, things like that. So really some really interesting things happening in terms of the dining scene when you're talking about malls and shopping centers.
Wonderful. How do we get more information about the shopping malls and the direction they're going in?
Yeah, absolutely. Visit thecenterofshopping.com for more information on back to school and just news in general about retail and shopping centers.
Hey, this has been fun, and it's been fun talking to you, Jesse Tron. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Jesse Tron, the Tronster. Tron. It's a horrible movie, Tron. Did you see that? Jeff Bridges. I mean, fine guy and everything, good actor, but what an awful movie that was. Ladies and gentlemen, just about out of time for today. You've been wonderful. You've just been so stoical through this whole thing. The way you just sit there and you listen and you go about your stuff and you go to the bathroom while I'm doing my bathroom humor and you listen to my talking about Velcro, and I know there's more important things in life, but it's a question of what you think is important. You know, right now it's Velcro to me, and fish milk. Get off that, Ron. God, see a psychologist about your fish milk problem, will ya? I'm just looking for it's probably going to be a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine. That's where they have the cartoons that make no sense. The people look at the cartoons and they go, I don't get it. I don't understand it. You probably have a farmer sitting on a stool milking a fish. And people would go, okay, he's milking a fish. I don't get it. I don't understand that. I would get it because of my obsession with fish milk and fish farms. I should get a job in a fish farm as the guy that milks the fish. I don't know where the udders on a fish are. I guess I would just pull on its gills. I don't know much about fish milking or fish farming. I know that salmon apparently swim upstream. It's like you want to just tap the fish on the back, tap the salmon and go, excuse me. If you went downstream, it would be so much easier. You wouldn't have to go fighting the current like all of your life. Turn around, man. Turn around. Try downstream. It's preferable, less stress, and you'll get to where you want to go a lot faster. You could be spawning in like 2 minutes as opposed to fighting this crazy stream. And you got to wait to spawn till like Thursday. This way, you'll be spawning before you know it. And isn't that all fish And most animals do. They exist to spawn, to create others in their own likeness. Isn't that what it's all about? Not for humans. It's not just recreating yourself and having children. If that, it's about experiencing life. I don't think a salmon ever said to another salmon, unless it was named Salmon Rushdie or something, I don't think one salmon said to the other salmon, you know, can we like spawn next week or something? I just want to enjoy the stream. I don't think they do that. Thank you again for your patronage. Thank you for shopping, Ron Van Dam. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
That was annoying, wasn't it? Is that annoying when you go to a store and you go, have a nice day? Well, all right. I mean, now that you told me to have one, now I will. I mean, seriously. Hope your day sucks. Hope things don't go well for you. Come back again if you don't fall into a trench. Bye.